Hey y'all, Ashley here, and I'm going live today. I thought I would check in with you from my messy office slash living room. And today I just wanted to share a little bit about my origin story. You're listening to Copy Chatter, the podcast where we talk about all things writing business. We're having a conversation here about freelance writing and freelance writers, and you are invited. Let's chat about business, marketing, dealing with clients, mindset issues, copy tips, and rolling with the changes. We'll also delve into what's going on with this particular writer as I grow and build my own business. Ready to talk shop? It's time for some copy chatter. I've been a freelance writer in some form or another for going on 10 years now. And I was just thinking, you know, it's been almost a decade of this, and a lot has changed and a lot has stayed the same. And I thought it might be kind of fun to delve into my origin story. I know that longtime readers are fairly familiar with some of this, especially the dramatic parts. But there's been a whole lot of not drama too. And I just wanted to share my thoughts. So my origin story. And then at the end, I want to talk about some things that you can take from this too, some lessons that I'd like to share and some encouragements with you. So I think I really was set on this course back maybe in high school. And I kind of discovered a natural, if not a talent, then a natural inclination toward writing. I was never one of those creative writing people. I never was writing short stories and filling journals with pages and pages of stuff. I could barely even, you know, write down my daily itinerary when we would travel. So I've never been like that kind of writer with a capital W who has all these yearnings to express myself through words. That's never been my thing. I've always been pretty good at nonfiction. So I tended to get very good grades on papers. And when I was a senior in high school, I got plugged into the campus newspaper. I've got a frog in my throat. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, so I joined the campus newspaper, and I actually joined as an editor and not a writer. And that's because a friend of mine was already on newspaper, and he said that they needed people, and he thought I'd be good at it. So I agreed with him. I thought I would be good at it, and I joined. And that was my first taste of a newsroom, although it was hardly a newsroom. It was, you know, the college paper, and I think we maybe produced a monthly paper, maybe even less frequent. I don't actually remember all that much. I think it was monthly. Anyway, so that was my first real taste of actual formal writing and editing outside of like writing my own papers and editing my friends' school papers, which I really enjoyed doing. I was that person. And I think it all really dated back to maybe seventh grade when I realized that I really liked English grammar and I was pretty good at it. And I can tell you all the different parts of speech and the types of pronouns and like all the charts and the graphs and the diagramming. That was my jam. And so when we were writing lots and lots of papers in school, I was in the IB program. So there were just always papers to be written. And I really liked editing them. I liked finding the incorrect word choices, and I liked finding the incorrect sentence structures and verbs and all that. I was that person. And then it became official when I joined the high school newspaper. And it was around that time that I started thinking about college, I guess a little bit before then. And I planned to go to UNC Carolina, which has one of the top journalism schools in the country and has had one of the top J schools in the country for a really long time. And so I planned to go to Carolina, go to journalism school, and I wasn't sure where I was going to go with my career, but I sort of envisioned this I basically thought I would be a freelance travel writer, in a sense, what I conceptualized a travel writer to be, which is not actually what a travel writer is, this thing that I thought I would be doing, but I thought it would be my dream job to be able to go to places and write about them. And to like, I mean, even to get super, super detailed in the nitty gritty picture, I envisioned myself 15 years in the future, kind of at the age where that I am now, mid-30s. I thought that by the time I was in my mid-30s, I would be married to a foreigner, like a European kind of guy, and that we would be living in some ramshackle cottage in the south of France with our two or three kids who were growing up bilingual or trilingual, and I would work from home. This is at kind of the very beginning of the internet, and I thought I could work from home and like email my assignments to whatever magazines and newspapers were interested in my expat perspective on the world. Basically, I sort of thought of myself as the female magazine, not book version of Peter Mayle. I really liked his books, and I kind of wanted to be some version of him. So I went to school for journalism. I got my journalism degree. I learned in journalism that I was maybe not so good at the photojournalism, which is what I sort of hoped I would be good at. I was very good at the editorial stuff. I could write a decent news article. I could write a really good features article. I was a pretty good copy editor. So that's where I focused. And I graduated with my journalism degree. And then a whole lot of real life happened. It was kind of unpleasant. And I ended up not actually going into journalism. I discovered in like April of my senior year that I actually hated the newsroom. I thought I liked it. And I realized that I hated it. I didn't want to work in a newsroom, and I would if I had to, but then, you know, so then I thought, well, maybe I'll switch to magazines. But by that time I had like 3 weeks until graduation, which is really late in the game to try to crack into the New York magazine scene. Anyway, so I switched tracks, I switched paths. I ended up getting kind of a normal job. I worked for a bunch of nonprofits for a while. I got married, I moved across the country. And it was in that move across the country that I thought, well, if I ever wanted to be a writer, now's the time. So this was 2009. And by 2009, I had been spending a couple of years reading blogs. I was a kind of an early blog reader, and I was reading all these really cool personal finance blogs and like mom blogs, but not like look at my children blogs, but more like these like intentional living, how do we want to live, kind of like sort of crunchy type, simple life. I was reading Simple Mom, which is now just called The Art of Simple. I think it's actually just rebranded to just Simple. I was reading Keeper of the Home. I was reading The Simple Dollar. I was reading I Will Teach You to Be Rich back when it was a really kind of ranty personal finance blog. And I had known in reading these blogs, part of what these bloggers were sharing was their journey to like monetizing their blogs and making money as writers online. So I knew in my head this was a thing that could be done. And so I had to leave my job and we moved across the country. And I thought, well, I'm starting over. What do I want to do? I would like to be a writer on the internet. I would like to work from home. And really my goal was to build something that was location independent because that ended up looking like something that would be valuable. I wanted something I could do on the side on my own terms because I wanted to have kids. I didn't want to have to keep leaving careers behind every time we moved. So I wanted something location independent that I could control the flow of. And I knew sort of intrinsically that freelance writing was a thing that could happen, a thing that could be done. And it just seemed like the time was right. So the very beginning of 2010, I jumped in. 2009, I made the decision. And then like January 1st, I started. And I started building a website. I started talking to contacts to see. I knew some people who had a design agency, and I knew a couple other people who were trying to be online entrepreneurs at the time. And I got my foot in the door. I got my first several gigs through personal contacts. Actually, maybe all of the first gigs I had for the first maybe year or so came through my network. And these were small potatoes. I really, really didn't know what I was doing. And this is 2010. Nobody was talking about this stuff. I didn't even know where to look for information. And all the like dumb Google searches I kept doing were leading me nowhere because I didn't even know the right search terms. So I spent a lot of time spinning my wheels. There's my clock. We have a new clock that we really like. But I forgot to turn the chimes off. I spent a lot of time spinning my wheels. I actually spent like years spinning my wheels, but that's 2010. Fast forward to 2011 and everything changed. up until then, I'd taken on like part-time temp work and stuff. I wasn't fully committed to this freelance thing. It was something that I wanted to happen and I knew was going to happen. We're going to get 12 dings. There they go. Well, at least they're pleasant. But I was committed to the idea. I was not committed to the practice. And then I was pregnant. And then I was very pregnant and I was getting a divorce. And I had to really wrestle with what my future was going to look like. I was facing not only the loss of the marriage that I thought I was going to have for the rest of my life, but I also was facing the loss of the motherhood that I thought I was going to have. I was planning to be a stay-at-home mom. I thought that was the plan. Apparently it wasn't the plan, but I wasn't aware that that wasn't the plan. And so there I was. I had no job. I had some, like a little bit of piddly ongoing work through clients just because it was sort of this thing that I had done. I'd been working a temp job, but it had ended. And I was just like, I mean, I was 8 months pregnant. I was in baby mode. And then it all fell apart and I didn't know what to do. I thought I could, you know, what most people do is they put the baby in daycare and they go get a job. And I did the math and it just, you know, like by the time I paid rent and the daycare bills, there would be no money. And there would be so much deep dissatisfaction with my life as it would be that I thought there has to be a better way. Now is the time. I'm going to do this freelance writing thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. Other people have made it happen. I can make it happen too. So that was my, Russell Brunson calls it the plateau of plomo moment where like you're in or you're dead, like do or die basically is what plateau of plomo is. And that was my plateau of plomo moment. Do I get a job or do I stay home with my kid and try to make this writing thing work? And I decided to try to make the writing thing work. So I moved back to the original side of the country that I'd been on, kind of crash landed with family and dug in and like tried to force it. Basically, I tried to force it. So starting a new life with this new identity of like brand new mom. I had this newborn I didn't know what to do with. I was a divorcee as a conservative Christian. It was like I was wearing all of these brand new, kind of scary, really intimidating identities. And then I had to go be an entrepreneur too. And I had no clue what I was doing, you guys. I had zero clue what I was doing. But I knew that it could be done. And I am really, really stubborn. So I tapped into that. And I found people who were doing what I wanted to do. I didn't find enough people. You know, I kind of found one person and stopped looking and tried to do what they did. And then I found another person and stopped looking and tried to do what they did. One of the things I wish I could have, you know, would have known better to do differently is to keep looking until I found somebody who was doing exactly what I wanted to do and was making the kind of progress that I wanted to be making. Eventually I did find that, but it took me a couple more years. I got work. I got some work. It was hard. It was low paying. It was sometimes astonishingly low paying. I thought of myself as an editor. I didn't want to be a writer. I wanted to be an editor because I thought that was what I was good at. I thought that was my primary gift, my main talent. And writing was hard and I didn't want to do it. It was actually easier for me to do the editing, I thought. So I assumed identity of freelance writing editor. And I tried to proceed in that way. Although, of course, I was taking any work I could find. I wanted to be the editor. And that was a really big mistake to get. I basically got married to this identity as editor. And I held on to it for a really long time, just like painfully long time. But eventually I saw the light. So these are the years. These were the dark years for me. They weren't actually bad. They were just really a lot of struggle. I was living, my income put us well below the poverty line. I mean, I'm in an extremely privileged position, so we weren't living as though we were below the poverty line, but I was able to find safe housing. I was able to find affordable housing. I have a really big safety net. Chapel Hill has some excellent resources for low-income people. And but it was still a big worry. I mean, I was still, like, my income, my first year of going all in was like $9,000. My income the second year of being all in was like not even $12,000, and that's before expenses. So I found a way to make it work. I had a lot of support, I got it done, but it was just such a struggle. It was such a struggle. I mean, I was not even making $1,000 a month, and I had a mouth to feed, and he was only a year old at the time, but he was going to get hungry soon, you know, and so I had to make it work. I wanted to not live in the apartment at my mom's house anymore. I wanted to not, I wanted to get health insurance. I didn't have health insurance at the time, although I realized now I could have qualified for Medicaid. I needed to have more conversations to realize, you know, I could have had an even bigger safety net. But anyway, it was a really big struggle. And I thought, enough is enough is enough. All of the editors I was hanging out with were doing rates. They were, a lot of editing work is done hourly. And it's, you know, like a decent editing rate is like $30, $35, maybe $40 an hour. And there's kind of a ceiling around $55, maybe $60 an hour if you wanted to be an editor. At least that was the story that was told in the group of editors I was hanging out with, who are excellent, wonderful people, legitimate editors, very, very old school. And this is 2014 and the world had changed. And I didn't really know the world had changed. I just knew that what I was trying to do, based on what these 40 and 50 year olds and 60 year olds and 70 year olds were recommending to me, because it's how it worked in the 80s and the 90s, I knew that it wasn't working anymore and I had to do something different. And I started looking, and I found a woman online. She lives in the UK. She's a Brit and she's really cool and she has purple hair. but I found my way to her somehow. And her story was a lot like mine. She had started, she'd gone all in on freelance writing when she was a single mom, or she was pregnant, I guess, and gonna be a single mom. And I think had like just lost her job or something. So she was panicky like me, and she made it work. And she was making a decent, like a really good amount of money for not having to work 60 and 80 hours a week. She was able to live a comfortable life. And so I kind of went all in on her. And I started reading everything she wrote. Her name is Sophie Lizard, a Be a Freelance Blogger. And I actually don't know if she knows the profound impact she had on my life. And I think I will tell her once I get done with this. But I started paying attention to what Sophie was doing. I started listening to everything she said. I was looking at videos of her on YouTube, like doing interviews, just to try to glean as much information and knowledge from her as I could. And I realized that the income threshold, like the ceiling for income as a writer, was exponentially higher than the income potential as an editor. And so I decided to pivot. So I left my editing behind. I'd left writing behind to go into editing, and then I left editing behind to go back into writing. I still was working with some select self-published authors as an editor, because I really kind of liked that process of editing a book. And I did a lot of that work up until fairly recently, actually. But I focused on being a blogger for hire. And so I started kind of low. I think the lowest amount I ever got paid for a blog post was $25. And basically, it's because I wanted the clip. It was easy work. I could land it. I mean, it was like, I mean, I you just apply and you got the gig. And I went from there. I eventually started reaching out to people who I admired and saying, hey, I really admire what you're doing. I think you're awesome. Just as like to make the connections. And from out of doing that, I started having work referred to me. And I built a friendship with a lady. Her name is Kelly, who at the time was a blog editor for a network of blogs. And she said, I'm looking for an assistant. Would you be interested? And that was a, oh, yes, I would be interested moment. And then that gig changed my life because I just learned so much under her. And I learned so much from the entrepreneur who had hired both of us. Lifelong connections, I hope, like I'm still in touch with them. And that's when I began to learn a lot more about the business and the strategy of being a freelancer. And yeah, from there, I just kept trying. I started, that was the year, this is 2014, that was the year I started investing in myself a little bit. I had just a tiny bit of, and I mean, we're talking, I went from making less than $1,000 a month to bringing in like $1,500 a month, which made such a huge difference in my quality of life. I can't even tell you. It's mind blowing to me, how we got by. But, I had a tiny bit of income. I had a tiny bit of money, just a tiny, tiny bit of margin that I could save up a little bit and start buying trainings and buying coaching and buying, you know, a $25 a month program with like this massive training archive the freelance writer's done. And it was, so it was in that willingness to start paying money to grow that I began to really start to take off. I began to learn so much faster. I began to implement so much better. This, you know, we were 4 years from where I'd started. There was a whole lot more information out there, and the pathway was a lot more accessible. And from there, I just grew as a writer. And then I was primarily a blogger for hire. I did a little bit of ghostwriting. I wrote like short books. I was still editing books, but mostly I was a blogger for hire. And I was that, and the blog administrator. I was the editor for the blog networks, and then I was a blogger for hire. And I mostly did that for a number of years, and just gradually started increasing my rates. I got remarried. I added a couple more babies to the brood. That's basically what I did for a while. The jobs came and went, but basically I've been a freelance writer focusing on writing blogs, picking up interesting copywriting gigs, doing interesting editing gigs as they come to me. And then last year, 2018, everything changed for me again. And it was awesome. I got plugged into a network of people led by the inimitable Julie Stoyan. I met Julie through a client who I was working for, a woman who hired Julie. And that was Julie's, like, the client. In your freelance journey, every now and then you will have the client who changes everything. And I was working for the client that changed everything for Julie. And that's how I met her. So I met her like before she took off. And Julie's a digital marketer, or was a digital marketer. I guess she is still a digital marketer. And I began learning marketing and how the stuff that I would write fit into the big picture. And I began to think that maybe now was the time for me to start teaching what I knew about writing, because now I knew the business in and out. I knew how to be successful. I had seen countless freelancers come and go. I'd seen tons and tons of upstarts become really big deals, and I'd seen tons of upstarts make a splash and then go nowhere. And I'd seen a lot of writers get started, be successful, and then turn around and instead of writing, do like an expert-based business where they do courses and that kind of thing. And I decided I wanted some of that too. I wanted to be able to turn around and teach what I was doing. Having the third baby changed a lot for me because the demands on my time shifted. When they were two, it was manageable. When they were three, my schedule just made it really, really difficult to find the writing time that I needed to be able to do the blogging. And so I thought, well, something's got to give. So I shifted into marketing. I ran ad campaigns. I built funnels. I built courses. I did all this really cool stuff, like really cool stuff. And I found that my favorite thing to do was to teach people. So I started, my plan was to build up the teaching arm of my business so that I could pull back on the writing, because I simply just didn't have the bandwidth for the writing. And then, then I got the call that changed everything again. Then I landed the client who, our work is not done yet. We're actually still kind of in the beginning stages, or like in the, maybe the first third of the project. But I have a feeling that this is going to be my moment. I found the client who's going to change everything for me. And so, the really interesting thing about this client is that it's doing work I've never exactly done before, but is cool. So I've done this work on a smaller scale. But now for this new guy, I'm writing a book. I am ghostwriting a book, like a book, like a real book with like 80,000 words in it. It's going to be marketed. It's going to be something that you can hold in your hands. It's going to be used in what's called a free plus shipping sales funnel online, which is really, really cool. And, I was talking with Julie, who I joined Julie's mastermind, which means I get to talk to her a lot more after years of admiring her from a distance and interacting with her in the Facebook group. It's really cool to have a lot more access to her so that I can build this new phase of my business the right way. And so I'm pivoting again. I'm going away from a lot of my client work. I've kept a few clients on, and I'm still looking for writing clients only because I do like that kind of work, and I only have one book project so far. But I'm planning to focus more on ghostwriting, and I'm thinking a lot more about the entrepreneurs and the influencers who want to have a book and arguably need to have a book but don't have the time or the inclination or the skills or the wherewithal to pull it off. And I have all of those things for them. And I understand this digital marketing world that they live in. I understand the value of a book, not just, you know, the accomplishment, pat on the back kind of value of a book, but there's like a true actual business building, marketing, validation, you know, authority, value behind having a book that you wrote that has your name on it that you can hand to people. It's, as Amanda Abeya likes to say, it's better than a business card. It's way better than a business card. And I understand this, and I also understand that writing a book is a really difficult undertaking and that not many people are equipped to do it, but that I, Ashley Gaynor, am equipped to do it. And not only can I write the books, but I see how they fit in the plan, and I know how to make them the thing that is going to lead to the successful end of the process. So I am embracing this new direction, and I'm looking forward to where it goes. I'm still doing some freelance writing. I'm still very much teaching freelance writing with my students. I've started coaching upcoming writers, and so that's where I am today. I'm recording this at the beginning of 2019, and I think this is going to be a really good year. So I appreciate you listening. I invite you to follow me, you know, to stick with me and follow along, because I'm going to share bits and pieces of what it looks like to be a ghostwriter and to write a book, and to market yourself as a freelancer, to run an agency, and to do all this cool stuff that I'm trying to do, because this is the future. When you get into freelance writing, you never know where you're going to end up. I had no idea I would end up writing books, and here I am writing books. So I guess kind of the moral of the story here is roll with the changes, because there are always going to be changes. Don't do what I did in the beginning and get married to an identity. Don't think that the thing that you do on day one is the thing you're going to be doing in 10 years. It could be the thing you're going to be doing in 10 years, but it's probably not going to be. I mean, the thing you do on day one might not be the thing you do on day one of month two. It might not be the thing that you're doing day one next year. You might do it for 5 years and then switch. You might kind of iterate like I have, like going dabbling between different forms of writing and editing. You might say, I don't want to do the writing anymore. I want to do Facebook ads. You might say, I don't want to do writing anymore. I want to do web design. You never know. So let go of any identity. The only identity that you need to assume is that of someone who works hard and meets deadlines. That's really important, to meet your deadlines. So invest in yourself when you can, but don't spend too much money. If you are buying programs and not implementing, you need to stop buying programs and start implementing, because I think implementation is the thing that many of us miss, and it's the thing that makes the difference for many, many of us. Mostly be willing to roll with the changes. Don't go into it with preconceived notions that you then chain yourself to. If I had done that, I would still be really, really struggling. And I would still be completely miserable. And nobody wants to be miserable, least of all those of us who are trying to do what we want to do on our own terms. You know, misery is not one of the terms I accept for my own work. And I don't recommend you accept it for yours either. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me anytime. My email address is ashley@ashleygaynor.com. That is my real email address, and I invite you to use it if you have any questions. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ageditorial. You can find me here in your podcast listener. If you're listening on the podcast, if you're watching on Facebook, you obviously know how to find me. And you can find me online, ashleygaynor.com. And I guess that's my origin story. I would love it if you would share yours with me. Send me a message, leave me a comment, let me know what's going on with you. Where have you started? What has surprised you along the way? And where do you think you might be going? What does your big picture look like? So hit me up, let me know.